We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 378 of the World's Most Dangerous Podcast. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. With me, noted author Chris Garber. How are you today, Chris?
I am great. Happy as a clam.
Happy as a clam. That's pretty happy. We are recording on Thursday night, as we always do. The Reds are currently winning. Is that still true, Chris Garber?
The Reds are currently winning as of the time and place and in which I am watching.
There we go. Which I don't know what time zone you're in, but I think we're probably in the same point in the game. I don't know how time zones affect baseball games when they're broadcast.
Relativity.
What is it? What is
special it? Relativity.
Is it Wednesday there? Was it Tuesday? Is the Paleolithic area there? What is it? What do you got? Anyway, the Cincinnati Reds, this is the way we've started every single podcast all season long, basically. The Reds, kind of treading water. You know, 500 this last week in the series against the Cubs. They lost 2 out of 3. They did win the first game against Philly, lost the second one. You know, it is what it is.
Is it treading water when you're below the surface of the pool?
Good point, because they are five games below 500.
Yeah, I mean, is that like a smart strategy to tread water when you're, you know, you can't breathe? You're in the process of drowning?
Perhaps you may want to try to move upward. I don't know, maybe. The Reds are 24-29 as we record this. Fourth place in the National League's Central Division and 6.5 games out of first. It's basically the same thing. And when I say the same thing, I also mean that really, two Reds are playing really, really well, and everybody else is just kind of, they're along for the ride in some ways. And those two, of course, are Nick Castellanos and Jesse Winker, both of whom are 2 for 2 so far in this game tonight, and Winker has a home run. Winker and Castellanos are good, but what do we think about this team?
Not much. I don't think much of them, truthfully.
I think about them as little as possible.
Podcast. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to try to hide the fact that I'm not paying a whole heck of a lot of attention to the Reds. And that's on them. Like, it's really not on me. They're pretty bad, but pretty boring. You know, there's a lot of times I turn the game on and they're already down, you know, 6-0 or something. I'm like, all right, well, it's like that old GIF where, you know, the guy walks in the door and walks right back out.
Right. From the noted television program, The Simpsons. As my son called him, called it when he was young. The last game before tonight's contest with the Cardinals, the Reds lost 17-3 to Philadelphia. But now Philadelphia is the best team in the league, to be fair.
Yeah, they're the best team in decades.
Right. 17-3. How many Alex Blandino pitching appearances do we have to have before we start thinking something's wrong here?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, wasn't that even part of the league saying, like, we're kind of over this position players pitching? Wasn't there some sort of rule change and some sort of edict to try to cut that out? And the Reds have had, what, 6 different outings from non-pitchers?
Yeah, yeah. The Blandino rules, they were called, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know that guy the Reds used to have who was a pitcher and a fielder?
Hmm. Mike Freeman?
No. Not Mike Freeman. I think his name was Mike something.
Yeah.
But he was like Popeye or something was his nickname. He's really, really
yeah, big
like
forearms. Yeah.
Giant. Like just a giant dude. I mean, nobody talked about it. You know, you might not have noticed that he had muscles right. because nobody really paid attention to it.
Whatever happened to that guy?
Consistently really high level player for a long time under the radar. I can't remember his name though.
I can't either, but he's disappeared. He's probably playing in, I don't know, Korea or something.
Did he get traded in the offseason?
I think so, yeah. Or no, he probably was just given away for free like every other reliever.
Yeah. Like Archie.
Archie Bradley. Mike Freeman. Can we talk about Mike Freeman for just a second? Did you know there's a guy named Mike Freeman that played for this team?
I saw this a couple days ago. I think he was involved. He had a really good at-bat against Archie Bradley.
Right.
He really hung in there. Did a good job.
Yeah. He hung in there, and he pitched a third of an inning against the Phillies.
Oh, he was the pitcher.
Oh, no, he's not a pitcher, but he did pitch a third of an inning against the Phillies.
Well, of course.
He's a 33-year-old.
Prospect.
He's a prospect. You know, there's kind of this running joke on the Twitters. And, of course, Mike Freeman's been in the league since 2016, you know, bouncing around. Toronto, Arizona, Seattle, Dodgers, Cubs, Indians, and now
199 career at bats.
Now the Reds, yeah. But this team is getting to the point where they are going to. You and I have had many conversations, which I enjoy. No one else probably enjoys listening to them, but where we talk about obscure former Reds, and man, we got a bunch of them on this team. There's going to be some guys in 5 years that
are, Mike Freeman, Max Schrock.
Yeah, Max Schrock. Yeah.
Is it, Hembry? Right? There used to be a guy named Alan Embry.
Yeah, this is Heath Hembry. They're related.
Heath Hembry. They amped it up by adding a letter.
Right.
Adding a consonant to each one.
Michael Feliz.
CNL Perez.
Oh, man. We're just talking about the pitching staff.
Brat, brat.
What's his name? I don't want to hear that again. Oh,
he's
my
God. He's 35?
Yeah.
I mean, they're. Look, this is what. This is what you get, listeners. When this is like the TikToks or whatever, where they take Prince and let some kid listen to Prince for the first time and his mind's blown. Right. This is Chad introducing an agnostic former fan to the 2021 Reds.
It's so frustrating.
Warren? Are these real people?
Who's that?
Art Warren.
No, that's not a real person.
Well, he played also Ashton.
Ashton Goudeau, my favorite of the French Wave directors from the 60s. Movie directors.
I mean, oh, my goodness. And, as terrible as this team and this pitching staff is, they've had, three guys under 30 pitching for them? I mean,
well, that's maybe sad. Not that bad, but close.
There's only one guy under 26. Well, until tonight, Vladimir Gutierrez, I guess, is the second.
CNL Perez.
Oh, CNL. CNL Perez pitched in 18 games?
Oh, yeah, with an 8.31 ERA.
I know we keep saying they're not trying, but they don't have to rub it in our face.
this discussion here. It's so frustrating because the starters that this team expected to have, both on the pitching staff and in the lineup, some pretty good players, some fun players, but the Reds just completely ignored. Well, not ignored. They actively try to harm their bench and their bullpen. Is that unfair?
No. I mean. I don't think they actively tried to harm it. I just think they didn't care.
Who didn't care?
I mean, the ownership. They exactly. knew they were going to get worse and didn't care about that.
Clearly. I mean, I watched CNL Perez, and I'm pretty impressed with his stuff. I mean, it's really, really impressive stuff that goes nowhere near the strike zone. unfortunately. I mean, he's walked 18. He struck out 13 and walked 18. Gosh.
This is such a weird deal. I mean, they've got basically they've got two great players, two guys having great years, a couple of journeyman-ish guys picking up the slack, a couple of okay-looking prospects, and then just a bunch of stuff.
I was waiting to hear what descriptive term you were going to use.
My rule now. I don't say bad things about Major League Baseball players. Like, you know, I'm not going to say they suck.
Right, exactly.
Because they don't. But when you're trotting out 35-year-old guys and 32-year-old guys and 28-year-old guys who at best are going to be 75% of league average, you're not trying.
Yeah, it's what I said about Jeff Hoffman. You know, that guy's trying as hard as he can. He's really genuinely trying to do the best he can for the Reds. He's just Jeff Hoffman.
Jeff Hoffman is the best pitcher you and I would ever meet.
Yeah, I could not hit Jeff Hoffman. I couldn't hit Doug Rowe as a 12-year-old in Little League. He never made it anywhere.
Is that the dirty job guy?
No, this guy I think is in the state pen. He had a tattoo at age 12.
Nice.
One of those guys, yeah. But this pitching staff, it's like half a staff. I mean, the starting rotation.
No, there's like 17 guys on it at any given night.
True, but the starting rotation, you have three guys who've been pretty good. You have one guy who has been good his whole career until this year, Luis Castillo, who knows? So, you know,
and then you have Jeff Hoffman.
But then, you know, you got TJ Antone. You got Lucas Sims, who's not been great, but fingers crossed on him. And, you know, Amir Garrett.
I'm not gonna complain about the first five guys they've got out there.
Yeah, it's after that that there's nobody to put in.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, Carson Fulmer's fine. Sean Doolittle, that was a reasonable deal, and he's pitching well. But yeah, after that, it's like guy you've never heard of. And it's not the whatever magic that we expect out of the coaching and player development department and Cincinnati and all that. It ain't showing up on the field.
Well, let's discuss that for a second. First of all, I just noticed that Alex Blandino has a 9.82 ERA after giving up some runs in his last outing. There are still two players in the Reds that have pitched for the Reds this year who are actual pitchers who have higher ERAs than that. So that's not good. I've seen some kind of pushback from Reds fans on, wait, I thought Derek Johnson was supposed to be, and Kyle Bodie, there's supposed to be magical workers or whatever, you know. How can the bullpen be so bad? I thought they were supposed to be so great. And, you know, it's, Kyle Bodie and Derek Johnson could be the best in the world at what they do. And they very well might be. I don't know. They could not take me and turn me into a major league pitcher. You know, I mean, you got to have something to work with.
I'm right. And Kyle Bodie, I don't think is working with.
Right. The major leaguers.
Yeah. Now look, I am going to hold those guys accountable. Because they are beating their chest a little bit, 20 games into the season about the Daytona Tortugas pitching staff and how they've taken these undrafted guys and blah, blah, blah. And, I don't know. It's an article was behind the paywall, so I couldn't tell you exactly what it said. But you know the one I'm talking about?
I do, yeah. And I wonder, why aren't those guys in the majors now?
Right. Yeah. So, well, they got to be the best low A pitcher that they can be.
Hold on. I won't interrupt where you were going with that, but you need to explain what that comment means.
Yeah. Well, that was the Reds' explanation for what they hope to see from Hunter Green. Apparently Hunter Green's goals, and to be generous, those are probably Hunter Green's first half of 2021 goals. But it was just, the conversation seemed to be around Hunter Green seems to be dominating. Why isn't Hunter Green moving up? And the quote from Nick Kroll was, Hunter Green, we want Hunter Green to be the best double-A pitcher he can be.
inartfully worded, perhaps. I think I understand where he was going, but
yeah, I do. I just had some fun with it.
Sure,
it sounds ridiculous.
But you're right. They were kind of beating their chest a little bit about that.
Yeah. So look, I mean, you know, so I am gonna say at the end of the day, okay, what happened to those guys? And once you've bragged about how you developed them up, you can't go back and say, well, you know, they were a bunch of low round draft picks. What do you expect?
Right.
It's one or the other. You know what I mean? Like me, I would probably keep it quiet until those guys do it for more than 3 weeks.
Right. Or until they're getting guys out in the big leagues, frankly. I mean, you know, that's kind of your job.
Right, right. Like, yeah, you don't get any points for being the best double-A pitcher you can be.
Hmm. That's not what Nick Kroll told me.
It's true. It's true. So anyway, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just getting excited, and maybe it's just wanting to, you know, give some love to the guys. But Twitter is a public medium, and if you want to praise internally, there's a way to do it.
Yeah, you know, when I see all that, and what we're seeing in Double A as well, and even in Triple A with some of these pitchers, I think, well, maybe there's a future here. Maybe the Reds have, because we've got some pretty nice looking arms up and down this organization at the current moment. You know, whether they're going to actually pan out, I don't know, because we've never seen Reds pitchers pan out once they get up to the big leagues. But we need help right now.
Johnny Cueto.
Right. Tyler Mahle at this point.
Yeah.
We need some of them right now, because this pitching staff, yeesh. Hey, I wrote this week in, and got some people yelling at me about it, but I wrote this week that there are three, at the magazine, there are three young Reds that Reds need to lock up.
Nick Howard.
All right. Wahoo, University of Virginia's own Nick Howard. Right. Three young players the Reds need to lock up, if they can, to long-term deals. And I compared it to back when the Reds locked up Johnny Cueto and Jay Bruce after the 2010 season. You know, just keep some young guys around. They're going to help the team. And those three are Jesse Winker, Tyler Mahle, and Luis Castillo. Now, which of those three do you think I got yelled at about?
I assume Castillo.
Yeah, the only one that's made an all-star team.
Yeah, I mean, how do I say this? You can
disagree with me if you want, by the way. Go ahead.
No. I don't. I mean, I don't know. I was going to say a guy of the talent level and the established performance of Luis Castillo doesn't just turn into a stiff overnight. And then I thought, Eugenio Suarez.
You went there.
Well, I don't know what's going on with that dude.
I don't either, man. I don't. He's getting a little better since he moved to leadoff.
Yeah, I guess so.
But, you know, for what that's worth, he's still 614 OPS, 162 batting average.
Yeah, sorry. So go into your column. I like this column, and I have one thought and reaction to it that I've been saving.
No, I was just going to say, I didn't really have much of a thought other than go read it, people. But, you know.
It's free, ain't it?
He's free. I'm just saying, those three guys, with Castillo, you're getting him on the, you know, if you can convince him to sign, it's a low ball. But I don't know. Those are three guys that I think can help be a part of another good Reds team if the Reds ever decide they want to have a good Reds team. So tell me your thought.
My little wise guy reaction to it was, I think you said something like, it's a win for everybody or something like that. And my reaction was, I guess it's a win for everybody. Maybe not the player who's just committed to stay with the Reds for three more years.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's financial security for them. The Reds committing to guys who appear to have pretty high ceilings, you know, and hopefully at a decent price. It's a smart thing to do, by all means. It's a smart thing to do. I just don't know what. Again, the Reds keep executing like one third to one half of a plan.
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
Signing those guys is certainly part of a plan for success. I just wonder if they would execute the rest of it, and if they don't, what's the point?
You're right, and we have no evidence that they will follow through on a plan. But I mean, I'll say this: I wrote that piece, and you're right. It can be a good thing for the players. You know, you get some security. Good thing for the team. You know, you get to buy out maybe a year or two of free agency or something like that. But I did go in and add like a half of a sentence where I said, Yeah, but you know, maybe they want to win. The Reds haven't shown much of an inclination.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about hockey before we got on the air, and as a Columbus resident and an observer of the Blue Jackets, it seems to be in hockey more than baseball. Like, if dudes don't want to play for your team, like, your team's going to have a lot of trouble. And if your team can't prove that they're going to win a lot, you're not going to get a lot of dudes wanting to play for your team.
Well, you know, when it comes to Nick Castellanos, I don't know what that is in that guy's head. I never know what's in that guy's head. I don't think I want to know what's in that guy's head.
A bunch of bottle rockets and some Slim Jims.
I think so. Yeah. Oh, gosh. You caught me off guard with that one. But, you know, if it's a guy that wants to win, I'm probably getting out of town at the end of the season.
There's 29 other places to go.
Yeah. And he'll be in demand if he continues to hit like this. Although he's gotten some love here in Cincinnati, and you know, maybe
for sure. But what's going to be? Well, yeah, but you know what? He's not a Cincinnati guy. What's he? A South Florida guy?
Yeah.
I mean, look, what's going to be really scary is if the Padres keep winning and the Dodgers keep winning. Now you're going to be like, oh, I can go to paradise and win every year.
I always wonder why San Diego wasn't the best free agent destination for everyone.
Yeah, they messed everything up. But well, in the ballpark they played for years was terrible. Like, it was miserable.
And it's California, so you know, you may prefer Florida because the income taxes. But still,
yeah,
it's in terms of weather, it's just and a city, it's gorgeous. It's you know.
Yeah, they should have always gotten the guy like who wasn't going to get a ton of money. Like, they weren't spending, but they should have always gotten the guy who wanted one last try.
Yeah.
Especially when they had Bochy there. I mean, he was a really popular manager with fans.
Yeah. You know, it brings to mind, you know, I made this joke, you know, that LeBron James was the only person ever to move from Miami to Cleveland. But I have to say that I know one person that moved from San Diego to Columbus, Ohio. Why would you do that?
That guy's an idiot. I know a couple people that did that, truthfully.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I couldn't get the free agent contract I wanted in San Diego.
There you go. All right. What else happened this week? Let's see here. You know, I was in Cincinnati over the weekend.
Really?
Yeah, I went to Cincinnati.
Go to see some FCs?
Went to watch FC Cincinnati.
Didn't you know?
Yeah, you know, I had a good time. They lost, but, you know, it's Cincinnati sports, you know.
Well, yeah, right.
We expect. They played the New England Revolution.
Now, is this Major League Soccer?
Major League Soccer. It was the second home game at TQL Stadium, the new stadium, and I was impressed by the new stadium.
Where is the TQL Stadium?
It's, you know, it was, I stayed downtown. It was a
Broadway Commons?
I don't know the answer to that. It was, it's West Side, I guess, and it was a short walk from downtown, 20 minutes from Fountain Square, for example, I'd say.
Okay.
And it was a nice stadium, and it was, you know, we weren't full capacity, but I'm telling you, man, I'm going back when it's full capacity because it was rocking, you know, and just whatever the capacity was. So, but they, you know, they're 1-4-1 now.
I saw some people crabbing about the stadium.
Really?
There's something about it. Yeah, there's something about it. I don't know. It's an eyesore in the neighborhood, or it's got a big screen that's too bright for the owls, or I don't know what.
Yeah, I don't know. It definitely is kind of out of place in that neighborhood. I think I read that the big, you know, all the light show or whatever is facing away from the residential area.
Okay.
There, I don't know, but
so that place is not too far from. Well, I guess it's not too close to Crosley Field, but it's over that way.
It's listen, I was impressed with the stadium. We had a good time, and it was more exciting than any Reds game I've been to since 2012.
Home run derby.
Oh, I forgot about the home run derby. I was there for that. Exciting. All right. What else happened this week? Vladimir Gutierrez. Well, I don't know, he had a good debut, but he's got a lot of tattoos, which is good for him.
That was my observation, too.
He had a lot of tattoos, doesn't he?
He really does. Good for him.
It is good for him. Can we talk about the last day of May when Max Schrock and Kyle Farmer both almost had hit for the cycle.
I did actually watch a couple minutes of that. Now that jogs my memory. I remember Max Schrock. I didn't have the volume on, but then I saw he was getting a lot of hits, and then he walked off the field in pain.
Yeah, he got a home run and a triple, and then he got a double and got hurt on the double, I think. Yeah,
Is he hurt? Like he's on the injured list?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Kyle Farmer is not on the injured list. He had a good game too, I guess. Whatever. He's Kyle Farmer.
He Kyle Farmer doesn't like to wear an undershirt under his jersey. I've noticed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A couple buttons.
I see here now.
Kind of like a very kind of a Chips vibe going from him.
You know, I got a fan of the podcast, and I appreciate you keep emailing me. I haven't emailed you back, and I'm sorry about that, but who keeps emailing every time Kyle Farmer has a good game, saying, I think he's good, and I really appreciate your faith in Kyle Farmer. There's no evidence, as far as I can see, that he's good. I mean, he did have a good day, 3-for-4, 2-run homer, single double, 5 mm-hmm. ribeye steaks. That's a good game. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do that in the big mm-hmm. leagues.
No, I mean, if you want to be honest about it, before tonight, Kyle Farmer's OPS in 2000 in his last two games.
See? Why am I criticizing that guy?
You know, right. That email guy's right.
Yeah, I agree. Email guy. All right. I think what we probably should do here is, I was going to say let's answer some viewer mail questions, but first I want to look at this Chattanooga Lookouts team. Update, Hunter Green, 1.91 ERA after 5 games. Nick Lodolo, 1.01 ERA after 5 games.
Look at your buddy Nick Howard.
Slow your roll, Chief. Nick Lodolo was like the pitcher of the week in the league. Nick Howard, we really should say, 9.2/9 2/3 innings pitched, has yet to allow a run. 14 strikeouts, 4 walks. Nick Howard, I mean, really, you know... He's clearly the best reliever in this organization.
The guy was, I mean, he shouldn't have been, but the guy was drafted in the first round. He does have, you know, presumably a lot of talent somewhere, or did.
Oh, he's striking
out 13 guys and not per 9 innings.
I watched him play in college because he went to the University of Virginia. And yeah, he was a first round pick. And yeah, we know the story, but, you know, I'm following his story closely. I'm excited. Not really. Can you be excited for 9 2/3 innings? Yes, you can if you're a Virginia fan.
Well, that's probably how much he pitched his senior year when the Reds drafted him.
You know, he was a starter until his last year, and then he was a closer. And they decided to make him a reliever in the whatever. Different. We've talked about that too much. Also on that team, anyway, Lodolo and Green have not stopped pitching incredibly well. Jose Garcia. Now we've talked. Jose Garcia was the shortstop for the Reds. Much of last year, and we need to discuss this. Over this week, he changed his name to Jose Barrero in honor of his mother. His mother passed away, unfortunately, recently due to COVID-related illness.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and so he changed his name to Jose Barrero, and he's back now, and he is looking right now as a 23-year-old at Double A. He's looking so far like the guy that the Reds thought was a potential star at shortstop before they bumped him up to the big leagues last year. So good for Jose Barrero. Hopefully he continues to hit. All right. That's enough of that nonsense. Let's answer some viewer mail questions, shall we?
Let's hear from the viewers.
Let's do that. First, before we begin, we've got a couple of new members of the family.
Yes, I love it.
You love the members, new members of the family.
I love members only.
This is from patreon.com/redlegradio. Chris is wearing his members only jacket tonight as we record this podcast. I know because I can see him because I'm a viewer as well. First, we've got to give a thank you to Mason Ballard. Mason Ballard joined the family this week. Really appreciate you signing on at patreon.com/redlegradio. Now, the question we always ask is, what position does Mason Ballard play on the Red Leg Nation Radio Beer League softball team? Mason Ballard.
Well, I had a high school teammate named Jason Ballard, who was our ace right-hander.
Oh.
Starting pitcher.
I was going to say pitcher for some reason, but now you've given me more of a reason to say. All right, so he's a... Starting pitcher, right-hander. Oh, there you go. Mason slash Jason Ballard. Mason. Yeah, welcome. Thank you for real. Thank you so much. Now, next, this is a first for Red Leg Nation Radio. We have a first of all, a big thank you to Jace Linford, our newest member of the family. Jace Linford. And Jace dropped into the Slack channel after after he joined up and said, I've played plenty of beer league and competitive slow pitch softball in my day. I'll save you the trouble and let you know I was a lefty pitcher and first baseman.
Oh, the lefty softball pitcher is a very tricky thing.
Have you played some slow pitch softball?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Back in the day, back in Southern California. That was one of the great things about many great things about living in San Diego is you could play year round.
I played some in my day as well. I don't remember seeing very many lefty pitchers.
No, I mean honestly there's no difference really. It's not like you're balls tailing in on your hands or anything like
that. Not dropping a screwball in there.
No, it's fine.
Jace, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome. All right, first question comes from Matt LaCron. Again, these questions come from patreon.com/redlegradio, where you too can support this podcast. Matt LaCron asks, when will the 2021 version of The Big 50 be coming out? Blastianos needs his own chapter immediately.
Well, I was worried about Max Schrock the other day. Well, actually, that was the one thing that popped in my head. Was are we gonna? Is Max Schrock finally going to make the book obsolete?
The one good thing about this book and this franchise that we wrote the book about, maybe Nick Castellanos will earn a chapter. I don't know. But this is the most evergreen book ever. There's never going to be another chapter needed. We've basically
really sad, isn't it? I mean, there are books about, you know, like the French Revolution that have had to been updated more often than our book about that included a chapter that took place in what, 2017?
Oh man. Yeah. When the Scooter Jeanette thing happened, we had to quickly, swap in a chapter about Scooter's 4 home run game. I was like, oh man, what's going to happen that's going to cause this thing to be obsolete? And as it turns out, nothing ever.
No, I don't think Wade Miley makes that book. Even like, we'll go behind the curtain here, folks. When you're writing a book, you're writing whatever you want to write, but you try to think about selling the book if you want to sell more than 4 to your parents. And the publishing company has thoughts on this too, and they know what they're talking about. So I remember one of the first conversations. I think you and I had this conversation already, but the publishers, I'm going to paraphrase here, but it was basically like, let's not have too many guys who are either dead or you've only seen a black and white picture of them.
Well, color photos.
Yeah. Right. You know what I mean? Like if a color photo of that guy doesn't exist, then let's not spend a whole bunch of time in the book on him.
We pushed back a little on that. I mean, we did a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we handled it. Like, I think we treated it real, real well, but there is certainly a bias or an encouragement to get things that people who might buy the book could remember into the book.
Sure.
But even then, I don't think Wade Miley's no hitter makes it in that book.
I like the way you frame that. You're right. Because we had those conversations. And that's probably how Homer Bailey snuck in. Well, he had 2. So, you know, I mean,
that's pretty notable. Yeah.
Yeah, that's notable. But yeah, Wade Miley's not making it. You know, Nick Castellanos is going to have to do something really special to make it in. I don't know.
I feel like Nick Castellanos. I mean, yeah. I mean, for us, it felt like individual accomplishments out on a team that wasn't winning had to be really, really special.
Right.
Had to be Joey Votto. You know, it had to be it had to be 2 no-hitters by Homer Bailey. You know, I can't even think of anybody. Well, Scooter Jeanette.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, the most memorable moments, that's what it was about. Memorable teams in general.
Yeah, and a guy who plays for the Reds for 2 or 3 years and has a really good hitting year, I mean, that's Kevin Mitchell. That's Greg Vaughn.
Right, right.
That's Nick Castellanos.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's a good point. So, you know what I envision here, though? Every year, you know, when there's not another new man or moment for the book, We're going to have to be like the 1972 Dolphins.
Yeah, we just, the last day of the year when nobody throws a perfect game, we just crack open the champagne.
That's right. We just celebrate another year of our book being as timely as it was when it was published.
Whatever Stiff is pitching on Fan Appreciation Day when he gives up a hit in the second inning, we're like, that's it. We're good.
I'm starting to think we need to have this. You and I need to just make a point to be at the last home game every year.
That's a great idea.
And just, you know, we'll put it on Twitch for the kids.
That's a description and account, Chad.
That's true. That's a good point. So, all right. So, Matt, I like what you're thinking. Castellanos has been fantastic to watch this year. I mean, I love watching that guy. He's been amazing, but not sure he's going to get his own chapter yet.
Yeah. And by the way, on speaking of the Big 50, I would like to let everybody know that right now that book is essentially sold out on Amazon.com. You can buy it at BarnesandNoble.com or at select local bookstores. But it has also been deemed a great on Kindle book.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, yes. So if you buy the Big 50 electronic edition for $11.99, you earn a $1.20 credit to buy another Kindle book.
Ooh, I'm going to go buy it tonight.
And I should probably, I don't know if it's bad to say that the author's share of the royalties are better on the ebook anyway. So
that's good to say that.
Download it, boys and girls. Yeah. Download it.
Get to downloading. I want to see these one downloads, click. Guys. Yeah. That's all it takes. Come on. A few bucks. I had someone this week text my wife saying, hey, you get any of those books? I want to buy a book for my brother-in-law or something. I don't know who it was for. But I signed a book this week.
Nice.
I know, right?
I just sign some every now and then, put them back on the shelf.
Just get them out. And you know, I got to, you ever go on this app called the Instagrams?
Yeah, I got the Instagram.
Yeah. This is like an app and you put pictures on there and stuff. And so it has like an archive, and it said 3 years ago today, I think we were at the, I don't know where we were. We were signing books somewhere.
Barnes & Noble in West Chester.
Oh yeah. Oh, that was a good one. That was a good night. Yeah.
Yeah, that I have the same thing on the Facebook.
Oh, I've heard of that app as well.
I think that might have been our first signing.
Was it our first one?
I think it was, yeah. Yeah, we did Barnes & Noble, and then we did Joseph Beth, and then we did, the Hall of Fame.
I think my first one, though, was sitting in my living room, you know, just practicing.
Yeah. My notebook in sixth grade.
Right.
Trapper Keeper.
Ooh, I had a Trapper Keeper. Oh, man.
I tried to explain that to my kids the other day. They're like, it was a folder? I'm like, yeah, but it wasn't just a folder. They're like, it was a binder? Well, you got to see it to believe it.
It was the coolest thing ever.
It was the coolest thing ever.
I mean, it really was.
Mead.
Mead Trapper Keeper. Oh, man. Good times. You know, that Super 70 Sports Twitter account, mm-hmm. Every once in a while, they'll post a Trapper Keeper on there. I'm always like, oh, that's my thing. If you don't know what a Trapper Keeper is, you're too young. Just log off right now.
Yeah. If you didn't have a metal lunchbox with a thermos with a matching theme, you're not going to know what a Trapper Keeper is either.
I had a one of those lunchboxes for the Fall Guy. Why did my parents buy me a Fall
Lee
Guy?
Lee Majors,
right. The Fall Guy. I didn't watch that show. I carried it to school for a year, though.
I had a He-Man one, and I was probably a little too old for it, to be honest with you.
You're like...
Looking back.
You're like 36.
Yeah.
Carrying like it to work.
Sophomore in college, and you know, I had a couple scheduled classes over the lunch hour.
Oh, I'm going to... We got to move on. I'm going to let you answer this next question from the Patreon crowd from Andrew Scott Wills. Question is this. How great was the last Chad Dotson article in Cincinnati Magazine? I know you haven't read it, so I'm going to tell you the headline.
Pretty great. No, I just read that one. That's one we were talking about, right?
No, this is a different one. This is one called Why the Reds Don't Love Their Fans Back. Oh, you're right. That was my last one, the one we talked about. Yeah. This is my next last one. I assume this is the one he's talking about. Why the Reds Don't Love Their Fans Back.
That was a great one. They were all great.
All right. You'll be invited back. Why the Reds don't look. It got more engagement on social media than than most of my recent ones, because most of my recent ones are mediocre, let's be honest.
No, they're all great.
Thank you. Woo the Reds. And thank you, by the way, Andrew Scott Wills. Woo the Reds asks, let's pretend that Jesse Winker and Nick Castellanos both end the season in or near the top 10 in wins above replacement for all of MLB position players, and the Reds continue on their current trajectory for a 500-ish or worse final record. Which would end up being a bigger wasted opportunity for the Reds? 2017 with Joey Votto's great final great MVP caliber season, or 2021 with having two top position players in all of baseball? I'll remind you of 2017 when the Reds were 68-94. Yeesh. And Joey Votto finished second MVP. Should have won it. Hit 320, 454 on base, 578 slugging, 36 homers, 100 RBIs. Man, what a year that was. 8.1 wins above replacement.
What a year. What a year that was.
94 losses.
A year where 60 starts were divided up between Feldman, Edelman, and Romano.
Yes.
Good time. Wojciechowski, Rookie Davis.
Good. Tim Edelman. Oh, man.
Jackson Stevens. Deck McGuire.
Deck McGuire was on that team. Wow.
Deck McGuire. Luis Alberto Bonilla.
Who?
We don't hear that much anymore. That's kind of an old blast from the past there, isn't it?
It's like a choice cut, you know.
I see.
We only bring it back when we need it.
That's fair.
10 games, 8.10 ERA for that guy you mentioned. Deck McGuire. One of my favorite dumb jokes from the history of this podcast is Deck McGuire, you know, doing a deep dive into how he was like a 1940s private eye. Like in a film noir radio series or something. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know.
Did you ever see the show where Andy Richter was a starring vehicle for Andy Richter, where he was a PI?
There was a starring vehicle?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Andy it was Richter? Really good.
Wait, what?
It was hilarious.
Never heard of it.
No, let me see if I can figure it out what it is real quick. He was like a regular guy who was thrust into being a PI or something like this. It was,
yeah.
But it was kind of like a noirish, you know, but it was Andy Richter was the main character and being Andy Richter in all ways.
Well, when you find it, while you're looking, I just want to say that, that 2017 team featured Billy Hamilton, 59 stolen bases, a 335 on base. That was a slugging percentage. Never mind.
The show is called Andy Barker, PI. And he is a mild-mannered CPA who is, in a case of mistaken identity, he has taken over the office of a private investigator. And he ends up basically taking on the cases that were going to the old tenant of the office. Stars of the show was the guy who is the old man in Fargo.
The old man in Fargo?
Like the father-in-law in Fargo.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
And Buster Bluth.
Oh, no way.
Yes. It was good. There was probably like five episodes or something, six episodes here. And it was in 2007.
It sounds great.
But if you can ever find them, they're really funny. Yeah.
Oh, mercy. I don't know about that. Deck McGuire, I don't think that describes Deck McGuire. I think Deck McGuire, he was like, he rented boats in San Francisco at the harbor. And every once in a while, he'd have to solve a crime. That was Deck McGuire.
I like it.
I don't know. Whatever. So the question, sometimes we, have you noticed that we tend to kind of go off on tangents occasionally?
Well, I defend that by pointing to the topic at hand and saying there's a good reason that anyone sane would go on a tangent.
That's a good point. I think the answer is the biggest bigger wasted opportunity was 2021 this year easily. 2017 was a garbage team.
They had no chance of winning with that pitching staff.
Patrick Kivlahan played in 115 games.
Castellanos just got beaned by Wainwright.
Uh-oh.
I think it was a curveball hit him in the butt.
Let's effing go.
There you go.
Do you see they put the big banner at the Great American Ballpark? I'm not going to Great American Ballpark this year, but I saw they put a big banner of Castellanos flexing over that poor Cardinals pitcher, and it says let's go. They omitted a word.
Bowderized it.
Yeah. So the answer is this year, because the Reds coming into this year had a chance if they had just decided to play. If they just decided to try to win,
try.
They could.
That's the banner they should hang up. Try.
Just try. That's all we ask. All right, good question, Wu. Next comes from our new friend, Jace Linfert.
Is that Jason Linden under like a Bobby Valentine mustache?
Oh, that's interesting. Yes, I think it is. I think it's Jason Linden. Jace Linfert. Repeating from the Slack channel, he did ask this question in the Slack channel.
Oh, this is the left-handed pitcher.
This is the left-handed softball pitcher. What can Bob Castellini and the Reds do right now that could make you end your boycott? Are you boycotting?
It's not that formal.
Right.
I've said this a million times. I completely reserve the right to go back on the bandwagon at any time.
Right. Or if your boys decide they want to go and...
Yeah, if they want to go to a game, we'll go to a game.
Right.
What I'm trying to pitch is like, why don't we go see Pittsburgh Stadium? Or let's go to a game in Cleveland.
That's interesting. You know, we talked earlier about how we went to the FC Cincinnati game, and I was debating, should I go Pittsburgh or Cleveland? They were both at home last week. I said, I've never seen either of those stadiums. Maybe I should do that. Don't take them to Wrigley Field. That's all I ask you.
I can't afford it.
There you go. Jace Linfert, what could Bob and the Reds do right now? I'm not sure they can do anything this season.
Trade for Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani.
There you go. Do that, and yes, I'll be there.
I'll buy a ticket next weekend.
Exactly. I think they, and again, this boycott is just my little thing, and I'm, you know, if you want to go to the game, go to the game, have fun, whatever. It's Great American Ballpark, it's a good park, and you know, go drink your summer shandies, whatever. But
that was remarkably dismissive of the summer shandies in a way that I am here for.
But there's nothing the Reds could do.
Beer and a lemonade mix.
Yeah, I think pretty much. Yeah, I'm not going to end the boycott this year. It's not going to happen this year. But you know, I also have said, even if Castellini's in there next year, I'm not sure I can keep holding out. You know, I like going to the park. Have a good time there, even if they stink. They did get rid of what's his name? I had a good joke there, and now I can't remember his name. Quackenbush, Kevin Quackenbush. This weekend, my wife's like, what's the deal? We're in Cincinnati. It's the first time we've been here in forever that we weren't going to watch the Reds. All right, next question. Joey Gaditza. And we didn't watch the Reds because they were in Chicago. Joey Gaditza asks, hey guys, hope you're both excellent. Chad, your recent article was spot on. Maybe the Reds will start listening to us now? Wishful thinking, I know. Also, I know you're a New York Islanders fan, and I'm rooting for them too, but just know that there is room on the Habs bus for you too. That's the Montreal Canadiens. Gaditza, our buddy Joey, is one of these Canadiens. He's from Canada.
Canada.
We're an international podcast.
Sketchy one.
Sketchy. I don't know. That didn't work. I'm trying some new material out tonight, and some of it's not working.
Yeah, it's your workshopping. It's just like Chris Rock does, Dave Chappelle does it.
Exactly.
We get it.
I was at the Comedy Cellar in New York once, and the guy from Parks and Rec came to workshop some stuff. He was trying some new material out. What was that guy's name?
Aziz Ansari,
yeah. He was pretty funny.
I saw him in a comedy concert, whatever you call it.
Where?
Here in Columbus. Yeah. Buddy of mine called and said, hey, I got this extra ticket. You want to go see Aziz Ansari? And he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's good.
He does, you know, things where he like looks at people's phones and see what texts they've been receiving and kind of riffs on that. And he probably doesn't do that anymore, but it was fun.
Yeah, he was pretty good that night. The best that night was a guy named Gary Goldman. I don't know if you heard of that guy, but he's hilarious. We also had this guy, Alan Havey. You ever heard of this guy?
No.
Yeah, he was
fake.
No, he's an old guy. He was on on Mad Men for a few episodes, and he spent about 20 minutes, ripping on me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's uh, He was the jerk boss who had that like sad sack cartoon on Mad Men.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He spent a long time really ripping on me.
What, were you heckling him?
No, no, no. They asked us when we came in. This is at the Comedy Cellar in New York, and they asked you.
This is where Louis goes at the opening credits?
I was kind of hoping that that Louis would, this was, you know, pre-Louis controversy. I was hoping he would drop in, because they say he drops in all the time. But yeah, they asked you, hey, you want to sit in the front? It was just my wife and I, and when you want to sit in the front, you know what that question is, it's, you're going to get ripped on. So we're like, nah, what the heck. So he walks out, says nothing, looks at me, and ask me what I do for a living.
Did you tell him the truth?
I told him the truth. And he says, well, let me just, and at the time, of course, I was a judge. And he looks at me and says, for all the defendants that have ever been in your courtroom, I just want to say this. And he put one of his fingers up and said some indelicate words, and everybody laughed, and I laughed. It was funny. I knew it was coming. And he spent a long time smacking at me. It was fun. I had a good time. I don't care. Anyway, how do we get there?
You're talking about Jim Gaffigan again.
Oh, I never talk about Jim Gaffigan, even though he and I did go to the same school. He's a Georgetown guy.
Is that right?
Yeah, I went to Georgetown. Played football at Georgetown.
They have football?
They do have a team.
Okay.
They have students who wear helmets.
All right. Like 11 of them?
They have at least 11. Okay. No fewer. Anyway, New York Islanders, I didn't mention the Islanders earlier. I picked the Islanders when I was, 7 years old because somebody gave me a Dennis Potvin card. I should probably become a Blue Jackets fan, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm having fun watching the Islanders right now. They're pretty good.
I told you I became the Islanders are the first team I liked, and that was because the first hockey game I ever watched was that Easter Eve playoff game when Pat LaFontaine scored four overtimes.
Yes, incredible.
And I was like, oh, this sport's cool.
Yeah,
they're all like this.
Yeah, the Islanders like the Reds though. They had a really good run, early '80s for them, not '70s, but and then pretty much crap since. So anyway, if Cincinnati ever gets an NHL team or an NBA team, I will switch my allegiances to them. But until then, I'm an Islanders and Philadelphia 76ers fan.
Trust the process.
There you go. Kyle Kapler asks, with the Reds bullpen struggling and your love for the University of Virginia. See, these are my people. They know where to go here.
Throw them right in there, don't they? Feed them right in.
With the Reds bullpen struggling and your love for the University of Virginia, should the Reds bring Kyle Crockett back? Do you remember Kyle Crockett?
Is that a guy that played for the Reds?
15 games in 2018.
Man. He's no Phil Gosselin.
He's no Phil. Another UVA.
Wait, is Crockett and also a Virginia Cavalier?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Crockett's a Virginia Cavalier as well as Phil Gosselin and Nick Howard. Drafted in the fourth round by the Indians and spent 4 years up and down with the Indians and, was a okay reliever. And he's not pitched since he pitched for the Reds at age 26. He's only 29 now. Let's bring him back.
I'm looking at his baseball reference page, which has a lot of insightful information. And as usual, nickname is Croc. So another
classic baseball
creativity. Yeah. But have you seen his Twitter handle?
Oh, no, I haven't. That's pretty good. Yeah, I see that now.
Crockpot 3.
Okay, let me just say
something. For some reason, there's two T's in it, but.
As we speak here, I'm going to follow him on Twitter. This is you can't get this content anywhere else.
No, well.
As we speak, his bio on Twitter, former UVA Cavalier. That's all.
That's it.
I'm definitely following that guy. He's followed by Jared Hughes.
Is he? And Red Leg Nation.
And Red Leg Nation. And MLB. Good for him. Kyle Crockett. Oh, my goodness. I apologize. I know we talk too much about the UVA Cavaliers, but hey, they play tomorrow in the NCAA tournament. They're hot.
Super regional?
Super regional. Columbia, South Carolina.
Super.
All right, Ryan Rayburn. Here's another deep cut. If you're new listener of the podcast, you may not understand the beef between me and Hunter Green, but Ryan Rayburn's going to get into it. Hello, my good dudes. I hope this letter finds you well. Now that a certain number 2 overall pick, that's Hunter Green, has come back from Tommy John even better than he was before. Parenthetical information incoming. Top pitching prospect in baseball, possibly? Will Chad be ending his full-hearted hatred towards me? I have many references to Ford on that that speak of my impeccable character. And let's be honest, Chad's big mouth, terrible accent, and Twitter fingers are the real ones to blame. He's attacking me. I already hate Ryan, and he's attacking me. He's not wrong, but...
He's coming in hot, that's for sure.
So the Hunter Green thing was, Ryan and I were, he texted me about something, and I said something about how, what if the Reds should consider trading Hunter, because what if he gets hurt? And then Hunter Green picked up on that, and it got on the front page of the Cincinnati Inquirer somehow.
Bulletin board material.
Yeah, right. So I love Hunter Green. I have nothing against Hunter Green. Still, my tweet's defensible. But no, I will never be ending my full-hearted hatred towards you, Ryan Rayburn. But thank you for being a part of the family. I'll let you speak bad about me in your Patreon questions. Is Hunter Green the top pitching
part of the deal, folks?
That's right.
That's the Patreon level 3.
That's right.
$6.99 a month. You get to call Chad a jerk in whatever other way you want.
Exactly. Oh, man. Thanks for the question. Next question comes from Seth Shaner. Now, Seth starts by saying this. He has one question for Chris and one for Chad.
Ooh, fair.
There you go. First, Chris, what say we stage a Central Ohio chapter of Red Leg Nation Radio get-together now that things continue to open up? Central Ohio.
That's us. So he's proposing a meetup, I believe, is that?
Evidently. And what you ought to understand is that Chris never goes out into public.
I am prohibited by law from coming within 1,000 feet of most men, women, and children.
It's a long story. We're not going to get into it.
That's right. It's fine.
it's okay.
It's a technicality.
Question for me. Chad, I agree with much of what you've said and written about Bob Castellini. But what, if any, hope do you have that your words will penetrate the offices at Great American Ballpark and a changing course, either by selling the team or by going all in to try to win, can be made? I love the optimism in that question. Seth, I will say this, and I got to think how I'm going to word this, but I do have reason to believe that our dear leader, Bob Castellini, has read my recent words about why he's a jerk. I think that's pretty much the.
Yeah. So do you think that had like a really productive, he took it like kind of like Brian Doyle Murray at the end of Christmas Vacation. He's like, you really made me think.
I think that
I've been unfair.
Again, you're prodding me here. You're trying to get me to say more than I should. I think that his response was not what Seth hopes, which is that, either sell the team or go all in to try to win. I don't think either of those was his first reaction. I think his first reaction was, who's this jerk? Why is he attacking me?
That's probably more understandable.
Who put him up to it?
Yeah. Who's this guy?
Oh. Let me just say this. My answer to your question, Seth, is this. I don't think that the Reds will ever really, truly try to actually win until we have a new owner. What do you think, Chris? Quickly.
Agree.
There you go. That was as quick as you could get. One word. Yeah. The reason I say quickly was next question is related to this from Nathan Connor. Nathan says, we can all agree that new ownership would be exciting, albeit an unlikely bit of news. But would all Reds fans welcome just any owner? And he says, let's say this. The royal family of Abu Dhabi decides to expand their image laundering program. I love it.
This is like Major League 4 or something.
That's right. Oh, this is great, Nathan. Decides to expand their image laundering program beyond the beautiful game. That's soccer. And seeks another property in this devious enterprise. Let's assume they buy the Reds. Yes, MLB would never in a million years allow Sheikh Mansour into their ownership club. But money talks, right? If they took full ownership of the Reds, let's also assume they splash the cash in the same manner that Manchester City does. They own Manchester City, a soccer team in England's Premier League, who just won the championship. Splash the cash that they do on new players, and they invest heavily in baseball operations and development in the same manner that they have at City, and invest in community projects around town. Would Reds fans welcome their new baseball overlords? Or would they be criticized by an odd mixture of jingoism and human rights concern? More succinctly put, what are the limits on the cost of winning? What do you think about that one? That's a wild question.
Yeah, that is wild. I mean, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, there have been some kind of reprehensible people and behavior associated with the Reds in the past. And I did not root for those individuals, but I did not quit watching the team. I don't know. That's really interesting. I mean, that's like a pretty extreme case there. So I'd have to think about it. But, you know, I try to not think about who owns the team very much.
Unfortunately, we're forced to with this team. But, yeah, jingoism, whatever. I don't care. I don't care whether, you know, if it's Abu Dhabi or, I don't know, wherever. Buy the team and spend money. You know, that doesn't matter. Human rights concern, okay, maybe. You know, I don't want the, you know, I don't know. I'm just gonna stop right there before I have to say something. I don't know. The limits, I don't want some jerk owning the team. But Marge Schott won the team, and we celebrate the 1990 championship every single year because that's the last championship we've had. Good so point. I don't know if the answer is your question, but it is a good one that probably deserves more discussion than we're going to give it right now. Thanks, Nathan. Joe Farsing. Now, Joe, one question just for Mr. Garber. This kind of upsets me.
I like this tonight. Specialty questions coming in for me.
Well, you come on Red Nation Radio and you ignore me? What's the deal?
That's how it goes. They get you every week.
There you go. Joe Farsing.
Special treat.
Right. In episode 2F09, when Itchy plays Scratchy Skeleton like a xylophone, memorably, obviously, he strikes that same rib twice in succession.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yet he produces two clearly different tones. I mean, what are we to believe that this is some sort of a magic xylophone or something? Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder. Any thoughts on that for that question from Joe Farsing?
All right, that's a direct quote, isn't it? From like Comic Book Guy or somebody. It's some sort of Comic-Con.
Is it? I don't remember that. Really?
Yeah. It's a Itchy and Scratchy and Poochie show.
I remember the Poochie. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Poochie episode, and they're at some sort of panel. And this is where Homer responds to that question. By saying, like, let me ask you a question. Why would a grown man whose shirt says genius at work spend all his time watching cartoons or something to that effect?
See, I remember that, but I can't believe I'd forgotten that. Yes.
Yeah. I guess I should have had the reply. I just recited it. But good setup. You know, I get points deducted for the dismount here.
Oh, man. Good question.
That episode's got the fireworks factory line. You know, it's just great. All Poochie.
What does it say when, you know, Poochie goes to aliens, take him back to his home planet? What's the card they put in on the?
He died on the way home or something.
Yeah, something like that. It's a good episode. Oh, Simpsons. Why do we get Simpsons questions every time you're on?
Because that's all I can talk about. It's the only pop culture reference in the last 50 years that I'm up to speed on.
Chris knows.
I did get Mad Men. I did get Mad Men earlier.
Oh, there you go. Chris knows 50 things about the Reds. Everything else he knows is about the Simpsons.
This book would not have been a page longer.
Right. Next question comes from our friend Mike Perry. Mike asks, who would be a better defensive shortstop? This is actually a good question. Eugenio Suarez or present-day Barry Larkin?
That's a very good question.
It really kind of is if you think about it. Larkin's gosh, what, 50, 52 probably?
No, he's got to be older than that. I mean, he's several years older than us.
We'll see. Yeah, you're right. He's got to be late 50s, right? Did you look it up?
Yeah, he just turned 57.
Okay. All right, there you go.
So, look, man.
He looks good, though. I thought he was 52.
I tried to play one-on-one against my 12-year-old in the driveway the other day and almost had a heart attack. And the worst part is I had to, like, pretend that I wasn't about to have a heart attack because I couldn't let him win or believe that he was about to, his dad was going to keel over in front of him by playing to five. So, yeah, I think Barry might have lost a step, folks.
Yeah, but even Barry Larkin losing two steps, is that still not in Eugenio Suarez territory? he was not good at shortstop, bless his heart. I love him.
So are we going to have to see that problem again?
I think so. I don't know. I go back and forth. I hope not.
Joey Votto's on the mend, right?
Can he play shortstop? Oh, no, I see what you're saying.
That's the plan.
I think probably it's Suarez, but I don't know that. Larkin looks like he's in pretty good shape.
Let's try it.
He's a handsome man, too. I mean, I'll say that. Nice. All right, whatever.
Devilish.
Charles Zollers. Trivia question. Which player did the... This is Charles, you're young, I know, but we all know this answer to this question because we've struggled with it for years. Which player did the Reds draft before Derek Jeter? Hint, he went to the 2017 College Football National Champions, also known as the beautiful University of Central Florida, where Charles is, you know. Which player did the Reds draft before Derek Jeter, Chris? You know this.
Is it... shoot.
Oh, I thought...
It's an outfielder, right?
It's an outfielder whose name is his first name is a glorious name. The best first name, I think.
Chadwick?
Well, I don't know if it's Chadwick, but I know it's at least Chad.
Oh, Chad Mottola.
Chad Mottola. Yeah. He was a star. Rob Chapman. Chad and Chris, you're co-GMs for the Reds. Magic wand. And ownership gives you the green light to make mid-season deals. What do you do to try to turn 2021 around? If you decide to punt on this season, what are the moves for next year? Look, if I have green light, I'm probably going to, because this division is not great, I'm probably going to go all in on trying to get a shortstop and get a relievers. Exactly mm-hmm. what we knew they needed to do in the offseason. Is there a different answer to that, Chris?
Well, I still like my Trout and Ohtani trade.
Yeah, really.
If we're co-GMs, do we have like head face-to-face desks or side-by-side desks?
I'm going to say side-to-side because I don't want to look at you every day.
Can have the phone in between us, and that way when we call Walt Jocketty for advice and clearance on a trade, right. Like signal to each other.
Co-GMs. I would not want to be co-GM with you.
Fair.
I want you to be, inferior to me in the hierarchy.
Well, so like assistant to the GM.
Assistant to the regional general manager, yes.
So who are the Reds going to trade to get all these major leaguers? You know, like Rocky Gale and Trudeau and Dwight Smith Jr.?
Kyle Farmer's available.
Kyle Farmer?
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, they actually do have some minor league assets they could deal, but... I don't know. I don't know what to do with this team. They're like sort of, they're in the middle of being like half good and needing to rebuild. And I don't think any team needs to rebuild. I think you just need to try to win. And I don't know.
Reload.
Oh yeah. There we go.
Here's a question though. What would you be doing with Hunter Green and Nick Lodolo?
I would have him in the major leagues right now.
That's not how you say it, but would you?
I would.
I think I would too. Would you be starting them or bullpenning them?
I think I would have Lodolo starting. I think I would have Hunter Green in the bullpen for now.
With a very like a sign on his back that said, "Do not keep him here."
Yes.
In the bullpen forever.
Yes.
Do not fall in love.
Yes. Hash Brown, not Chapman, in every way, yes. Except for the being an all-star pitcher.
How about Reaver San Martin? Would you have him up here?
Obviously. I just want to see the way they put his name on the back of his jersey.
The one thing the Reds have proven now is that they have no intention of like modifying the spacing or the letter size, no matter how long your name is.
Do you remember back in the day when they Concepcion's name on his jersey, Dave Concepcion, the shortstop for the Big Red Machine? I think the letters, I think C and N, the first and last letters, actually started on his pants.
It touches, yeah.
I think so.
Well, did you see D. Strange Gordon's jersey in spring training?
Yes. You're right. I forgot the name. Blast from the past.
Yeah.
Obscure former Red. D. Strange Gordon. Let me ask you this. If you were offered to be co-GM of the Reds right now, or just GM of the Reds, would you accept the job?
How much are they paying me?
That's really the only question.
That's really the answer, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not taking it for less than I'm making now, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Got to make it worth my while.
Yeah, you got that.
And health care benefits. I need health care benefits.
Need some serious benefits, absolutely. John Majewski. I really prefer the 7-inning games to the 9-inning games and would be thrilled if every game at every level was just 7 innings. Does this make me a bad person?
No. It does not. It does not make you a bad fan. It is not. No. I mean, I think it's really bad and stupid to have some and some not. That I think is weird. That's like if you had a football game and just stopped after three quarters and you're like, yeah, that's how we do it today.
Right.
But I mean, here's the thing. There's not enough. The problem with the game is not that it's nine innings long. The problem is there's not enough action in the nine innings to make it interesting. But if I'm going to be bored, I'd rather be bored for 2 hours and 15 minutes than for 3 hours and 30 minutes.
Wow. You know? I can buy it. It doesn't make you a bad person, John. Yeah, I hate this seven-inning doubleheader stuff, and I prefer the 90 games because that's what baseball's supposed to be, but I don't know. Maybe we'll get some complete games at seven innings. I don't know. That's not the problem with baseball. There's so many problems with baseball. I want nine-inning games always, but Chris has actually convinced me here. Every game should be four innings long.
Like shortening the games permanently is not my first solution.
Right.
My first solution is to outlaw sticky stuff on the pitcher's hands. My second solution is to replace the mound with a pit and make the pitchers throw from a 10-inch deep hole away from the plate.
That would be exciting. That would be interesting.
I think it would work.
Let me ask you, my first option is going to be to move the mound back. Is that realistic? What do you think? Is that something the baseball could do? Would it help?
Yeah, I mean, you can get a bobcat. You can do almost anything. I think they could do it.
But would it help? Would it make the?
It's got to. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You're moving the, you know, 2 to 3% or whatever. Not even the 2%, but whatever. Move it back a foot or two, and I mean, here's the thing: the problem is not that pitchers can throw 100 miles an hour. The problem is that pitchers are incentivized and permitted to throw full effort all the time. That is what leads to, I think, almost every problem.
I think you're right.
And because it's so hard to get a hit, it's just as hard to get a single as it is a home run, so why not go for four instead of one?
Right. No, I mean...
It's a cycle.
Yeah, that's where we are. You know, you and I love this game probably more than 99% of people in America. Maybe that's not right, but we like it. For years, I've been like this kind of a traditionalist. You know, I love baseball. I don't want it to be changed much, but now I just don't see how they can cannot change. They got to do something. If they make me think the game's boring, that's a problem.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I had to go through my Twitter and like, I used to follow the Pitching Ninja, which Rob Friedman, a really cool account. He just takes all these GIFs of these insane pitches.
Yeah, they're fun.
Hitters, but they are, but it's like at some point, it's kind of like, you know, right. Kramer fighting a middle school karate class. It's like, this is kind of, it's not, if everybody can do it, it's not that cool anymore. You know what I mean? And like, how often do I celebrate the guy when 24% of the plate appearances lead to a strikeout? I don't know that you really need to strut.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Something's got to happen. Oh, baseball. All right. So last, this is not a question, but we'll end on this one. This comes from our buddy, Rich Thompson. And this is not really a question, but Rich says, today, instead of submitting a viewer mail question, I'd like to submit some thoughts of gratitude. And I'm going to do what they call the University of Virginia handshake. I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit by reading this question. For over 10 years, I've been following or supporting you and your team's efforts in providing some of the best and entertaining information on Reds baseball. It was actually 2005, 16 years now, when I launched with some of my best friends, RedLegNation.com. I feel it's safe to say this project continues to be a passion for you all, but also bet it requires a lot of valuable time that can be spent elsewhere, particularly since recent iterations of Reds teams continue to struggle. Because of your collective efforts, I keep logging in each day to read your insightful articles or to get a chuckle from your witty and endearing podcast. Oh, that's got a good one. That's something going on our Twitter bio or something. Witty and endearing. To be perfectly honest, if it wasn't for you and your team's efforts, I would probably not invest much time into following the Reds. For one, they continue to prove to be inept. And two, have developed other interests. beyond Reds baseball to invest my discretionary time into. I feel you, man. Consequently, I want to say thank you publicly for cultivating this community slash family that keeps the Reds relevant for me and probably many others of Red Leg Nation. Sincerely, Rich Thompson, Williamsburg, Virginia. P.S. Does this make up for me giving Doug a little extra attention on last week's show? Yeah, he asked a question just of Doug and not me, and we've gotten 10 people asking questions just you and not me.
Trend now.
I know. I'm not liking this. The Reds are winning 4-2. Thank you for those kind words, Rich. And yes, you know, this is I don't know why we keep doing it, but part of it is that we like talking about the Reds, and I like the community that's growing up around this. And, you know, Chris won't talk to me unless I record it.
That's true.
So, I see we do have actually one last question. One last question comes from our friend Dwight Kelly. You get the sudden urge to play the saxophone. This is why I love this stupid family that we have. These are the types of questions we get. I love it. Which song will be the first you learn to play entirely? Examples, The Pink Panther, Careless Whisper, or Yakety Sax by Boots Randolph.
That's just to get the whistle. I was going to be right there. Yeah.
Oh, if you don't know Yakety Sax, this is the greatest musical composition of all time. Am I overstating it, Chris?
It's true. Now, do you think, do kids today, you know, they probably don't know who Benny Hill is, do they?
No, they don't. You know, you and I are basically the same age. Maybe you had the same experience, but when I was a kid, Benny Hill was a little bit, you know, it was kind of titillating. It was, you know, you wanted to watch it.
It was a push and pull with Benny Hill because it was racy.
It was.
But it was really weird. and Benny himself was a kind of a
perv,
off-putting. Yeah, you know, he's kind of an off-putting chap.
Yeah. But that Yakety Sax, where you know they're in double motion or whatever, they make the, you know, they speed the film up and he's chasing generally scantily clad women. Benny Hill was not, he was problematic. But that Yakety Sax with the, I don't know, I'm going to always hear that anytime I think of Benny Hill. It's embedded in my memory. So.
Now, speaking of Pink Panther, have you seen, you're not on the TikToks, but there was a TikTok video of basically this woman was in her apartment during the quarantine and she's like, My neighbor is learning to play the saxophone and he only knows one song.
I didn't see that, no.
And it's the Pink Panther.
I am on the TikToks, but I didn't see that.
And so she had this video, it was all these clips of her at like different times of day, different days of the week, different, you know, outfits and everything over many months. And like just the Pink Panther blaring through the walls of her apartment. And her like different expressions on her face, and it's just beautiful. But there was a podcast. I think it was This American Life. I think a couple weeks ago.
Great show.
Where they kind of dug into it and
really,
and found out. You know, interviewed her and interviewed him and got the whole story behind it all. So
I gotta listen to that.
I'll see if I can find it and we'll throw it up on Twitter after the.
That's fantastic. Oh, I haven't seen that. So are you making TikToks? You like dancing on TikTok? And
I don't ever make a TikTok, but, I've fallen into several TikTok subcultures. You know, they got this masterful algorithm. It just serves things up.
Oh, it's awful. It's evil.
But it knows when you like it, and it keeps giving you more.
It does. It gives you more of what you want.
Yeah, I've gone through home inspection TikTok. That's a good one.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. Small farmer TikTok. Car detailer TikTok. Notably young female small plane pilot TikTok.
This is an entirely different TikTok experience than I've had.
Okay. Are it's you amazing. Watching people like dancing and doing stunts and that kind of thing?
Nah,
shots and stuff?
Mostly it's just, it's like golf shots and Family Guy clips.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been on all kinds of, of rabbit holes on this TikTok, and it's just delightful. Like, I love it. It's like right in my, you know, it's right up my alley. Like, all these stuff I'm enjoying, and I'm like learning stuff. I was in Sea Captain TikTok for a little while. Flight attendant TikTok.
I don't. None of this makes any sense to me. I don't get on there very often, but now I'm thinking I need to devote more time.
Do it. All I figure is, like, if you like something, or if you swipe over and watch more of the person's videos, I think that's part of it. But I also think it's like, if you don't swipe away, like, you just watch the whole thing, that counts. I don't know. I don't know how it works, but it just keeps giving me more and more of what I like.
I get golf highlights and baseball highlights and teachers doing silly things in class. Sometimes I get that.
I've had elementary school and middle school TikTok. Yeah. Teacher TikTok.
Haven't gotten into law school professor TikTok yet. Maybe I wonder if that's a thing. Chris, we need to wrap this up.
Yeah, let's call it a day.
We've gone way off the rails here. This is Red Leg Nation Radio.
This is where the rails are. I'm sorry. This is where the rails are for when I'm on the show.
These are our rails. I agree. You're right. This is episode number 378 of Red Leg Nation Radio. I say a lot of things here now, telling people how to subscribe and all that, and just Google it or something. I don't know. I don't care. Whatever. You can go to patreon.com/redlegradio where you can join the family if you want. We've had a lot of new family members join up lately, and we have a good time on our Slack channel. It's all fun. So, Chris, any final thoughts for us before we hit the stop on the record button here?
I think I've said enough.
You've said far more than enough. For Chris Garber and Ashton Godot, this is Chad Dotson saying so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from RedLegNation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app. And join us for discussion of all things Reds at RedLegNation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.